from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitin.
Thank you so much for joining us on the G and Ursula Show. G is off today. Matt Markovich is in, longtime veteran journalist, most recently from Como TV. It has been quite the exciting
first day
on radio for you. can see that you never know
that's
what things
breaking
can just
news
turn
is all about,
exactly.
Man. That's the adrenaline of it.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so we are going to continue with our coverage. We will have another CBS update coming up at 11:20, but we're going to try to get back on track a little bit, and we're going to bring you Agree to Disagree, which is brought to you by Johnny Tsunami.
One of these days, we just got to take off the gloves, just really go at it.
Hey guys, the Seahawks are doing so poorly, they will not be playing in primetime for the second week in a row. Ursula, if you had to lose Russell Wilson or Coach Carroll, who would you give up?
Oh boy.
You want to go first?
Yeah. I'm going to go with Russell Wilson only in that right now we could get a lot for him still. He is an excellent quarterback, but he is not playing up to par because of his injury. We are spending a lot of money for him, and this is going to be a rebuilding period. Mm-hmm. We've had a great run for 10 years. This is going to be a big rebuild, and I think that we should try to get what we can from Russell Wilson. And so I'll say that.
So I agree, disagree, Coach Carroll, because
you know
you have how many franchise quarterbacks are out there? They're just not growing on the vine. And you can pick one off out of college right away and know that they're going to be a success. So you have success with Russell Wilson. You're always going to wonder, would he give you that hometown discount and stay if they use some of the money and get other draft picks and maybe Coach Carroll. So, and as well as, I tell you what, Coach Carroll hiring a new offensive coordinator from the Rams initially made sense. But what's happened here? You know, it hasn't produced points, reliable points. So maybe it is time. I think you keep John Schneider as a GM. But Carroll, if I had to pick one or the other, I'd pick Pete Carroll.
Okay, I want you guys to text us, 888-973-CHIRO, 888-973-5476. If you had to pick, and obviously this is not what's happening right now, but if you had to pick, who would you pick?
Sophie's choice kind of a
exactly.
question.
Yeah. Neither is a great choice. But it has been, are you a bandwagon fan, or are you a fan through and through?
I've been a pretty good fan. I'm not a band. Did I watch the Packers game? No.
Are you disappointed?
I've watched every game since
Are you
then.
Disappointed they're not going to be in prime time this weekend?
Well, I mean, that's just the life of it. You can flex those games out, NBC does and stuff like that. So that just comes with the territory, and they're having a struggle.
Yeah.
They're struggling.
Yeah.
But you got to stick with the team.
I'm going to stick with the team. I mean, G is a true and true fan.
Yeah. They've got a better offensive line. You have some real stars, DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, and you have Russell Wilson. So why can't they score points? I mean, that right there is saying, you got the elements there.
Yeah,
what's
but we've
going
also
on?
Had injuries.
And honestly,
I think Russell Wilson came back too quickly. He's not playing to his standards.
Yeah, I didn't see him really miss a big pass last game.
Maybe it's because I didn't watch that last game. I was on a plane.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks,
Laura. Dollar Store is officially done. Dollar Tree is increasing its prices to $1.25 due to rising costs and supply chain issues. Okay, are dollar stores really that good of a deal? And Matt, how often do you go to the dollar store?
I go to the dollar store with my wife all the time.
Okay, really? Wait a minute. You said you don't like shopping, but when it's the dollar store, you'll go.
Because I'm a cheap A, you know? Everybody knows about me. I travel real cheap, but I get good deals. I travel like I'm first class, but I get a good deal. So dollar store, there are some certain things in there that are great finds.
Okay, like?
You know, those little lasers? My dog, I have two labs. Those little red light lasers, you can chase it. They love that. I chase it around for a dollar. I can buy four for a dollar. The little laser lights that my dogs chase. There's a great buy right there. You know, you can't find that anywhere else for a dollar.
Someone told me the cotton swabs are really good.
Cotton. So, I mean, everything. I just don't buy, Advil that's 2 years old,
See,
but then again, that's sad news that it's going to be a dollar or a dollar 25, because there's different. You hear about Dollar General, Dollar Family Dollar, which is now Dollar Tree is owned by.
See, I don't know the difference. Is there a difference?
Yeah,
between those?
Okay, there's a huge difference.
Wait, what's
it's like
the,
you were talking about Nordstrom's before. Okay. You know, there's a difference between Nordstrom's and Macy's,
oh,
would you say?
Yes,
but for
yes.
me, there isn't. You know,
okay.
so Dollar Tree is a dollar.
Okay, nothing, so it really is a dollar.
It really is a dollar.
So see, when I look at
and
that, I think
Dollar
some of those
General,
things-
a couple years ago, they went above a dollar. So now everything for Dollar General is a dollar to $10. Nothing more than $10.
But it has to just be rounded.
Yeah, and then the 99-cent store, which if you go in other cities, there's a lot of them, they got sued because they went over 99 cents. And people said, hey, it's in your title. Why is it a dollar five? You know? And so they had to start saying, well, we have stuff that's more than 99 cents. So for the last holdout, Dollar Tree to say that we're going above $1, I'm very sad.
See, when I go to a dollar store, and I haven't gone in a while only because I would always find myself buying things that I do not need. But, oh my gosh, it's such a good deal. I got to get this. Oh, and 10 for 10, you know,
yeah.
or 10 for a dollar. Now, do we need generally 10 of anything? Especially when it's that.
Yeah, cheap? But there's a secret store that I go to.
Oh, no, don't. Already people are so mad at you about giving away the secrets to
I won't even say this is a discount. I'll call it Discount Direct, where they actually buy remnants of dollar stores, so everything's 50 cents. So it was a dollar at the dollar store. I go to this one store where everything's 50 cents or less.
So now is that a place you would actually spend a couple of hours?
No, I don't.
Okay.
But I browse that because every week is a little bit different. You know?
Ah, okay, yeah. For me... it's going to take some convincing to get back into the dollar store.
Okay.
Target closed all their stores last year on Thanksgiving Day due in part to the pandemic, but now they say that decision will be permanent. Every Thanksgiving will be a holiday for all Target employees. Is this the right move, Matt, or are they risking lost sales here?
I think we talked about a little bit of this before. I think it's an awesome move to give your workers Thanksgiving off, a traditional holiday. I'm a big traditional guy. Give them the day off because 10 years ago, Target, they'll make more money online on Thursday with their sales, their Black Friday sales, than they did if they had opened the store up 10 years ago. Just how things have happened. So why... You know, Target's not going to really lose that much money by be open on Thanksgiving. They're going to be open the day after Thanksgiving. That's, again, a tradition. People go out and do their Christmas shopping. They have plenty of times to get that Black Friday bargain at Target. But yes, give the people a day off on Thanksgiving. I hope that trend continues because, again, this started after people want to be ahead of the Black Friday days, and they started opening up Thanksgiving Day, and people thought, oh, that's awful. How can they open up on Thanksgiving? And that became a tradition, and now they're going back to it. And I think that is a real testament to online shopping because these stores are going to be making money on Thanksgiving. They just won't be making it in the store.
Do you think all grocery stores should shut down on Thanksgiving Day as well?
Like for the full day? It'd be nice.
Yeah. I mean, as someone who worked in retail, I agree with you. But there are times when, okay, you do need that little something.
But
and I'm not talking
to,
about
Target. You get used to that. If you're a Chick-fil-A fan, do you go to Chick-fil-A on Sunday? No. You just know it's closed always on Sunday.
Uh-huh.
So you just get used to it.
Yeah.
And so if all the grocery stores closed on a holiday like Thanksgiving... You would just get used to it. Yeah. You pack up the day before and shop on the day after.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you because, truth be told, I have never shopped on Thanksgiving Day. And I'm also a little hesitant to shop even on Black Friday because you already know what it's going to be like. You already know there's going to be a stampede.
Mm-hmm.
And I just can't do that. I think there was a time in my life I would, but at this juncture, I'm good with it. We're going to agree to agree.
Okay.
Okay, too friendly. We got to heat it up.
All right. I'm learning
New polling shows that Seattle loves our pandemic street closures and sidewalk cafe spaces. 84% of respondents to Northwest Progressive Institute survey said they supported safer walking and biking routes and that they want more space for outdoor dining, even if it means less parking. Ursula, do you support more pedestrian-friendly streets?
The only part of that comment that I agree with is I do love the outdoor dining.
Right.
That, I think, was a real positive from the pandemic. And I know that it puts a crunch on parking, but I love that feel. It feels like Europe. It just feels very friendly. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
What I disagree with is all these shutdowns. Oh, let's make this walkable. Oh, let's make this an urban park. And you shut down what was a perfectly good exit or on-ramp or whatever. And I got one of those on 65th. And it's shut down. They put some boulders there, and they call it a park. And the only person I've seen use it was a homeless person who put a tent up for a while.
Right.
I've never seen, are you going to put kids playing there? What is that for? It just causes a bottleneck somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm really sounding like, get off my lawn.
You are, get off my lawn. Get out of my street, you know.
But again, I live in the city of Seattle, and
you talk, let's put it this way, every residential area, everybody who owns a house in Seattle would love to have a street where there's no traffic in front of them. Name a person who wouldn't want that, right?
Yes. However.
However, that's not realistic. And with parking so bad, so I think I would split my vote on this. One, let's get rid of the safe streets that are in residential area. Let people move through those. Let those, you know, be there. Because, you know, the only people who are not going to, that are going to park there on a safe street, if it's declared safety, is me and my tent. That's who's going to be ending up on these streets.
Right. That's what I've seen.
And that, but if you go to Ballard, where they have the outdoor cafes, and you have kind of a different vibe there, and a lot of cities doing it. I grew up in Santa Barbara. They took the main street in Santa Barbara, and again, it's California. That entire main street now is no traffic. The main street of the entire town, and they have all these little outdoor cafes and stuff like that. So I think that's awesome. It's going to revitalize areas. So that's good. But the residential areas, let's bring them back. Let's get rid of those safe, healthy streets and make them dirty ones again.
Uh-oh, Matt and I are agreeing again.
Oh, no, okay,
we are. But how about Pike Place Market? Do you think cars should be allowed on that street?
Yeah,
right,
I'm going to agree on this one. Absolutely not. I mean, it's just like, you know, I think there's, again, I think it's maybe a tradition down there that you've always been able to drive there and you need to have to make deliveries. That's a different story. But go there on a summer day on Saturday and some guy is driving through a car and he's a tourist and he's got people surrounding him like it's a riot trying to get through the area of Pike Market. I mean, that's so stupid.
Yeah,
it really
exactly.
is chaotic down there.
Yes. It's unnecessarily so. You're not going to move anyway if you try to drive down there. So why do it? So, we're agreeing on that one,
know,
too.
I'm on the wrong show then.
No, I think it's it must be our journalistic background. We're just agreeing on everything.
We're realistic.
Exactly. Okay, we've got 1 minute. Let's do one more.
The controversial bear hunting season in Washington State will be put on pause this year. At least a dozen conservation groups say the springtime hunts kill female bears just after they've had their cubs. Should this be permanent? No more bear hunts? Ursula, what do you think?
I'm just going to say real quickly that I am uncomfortable with the idea of a bear hunt in general. Don't come at me, please. And so that's what I'm going to say on that one. But
you need the bear hunts. I mean, if you want bears to come down to Issaquah more often and go through your trash can, I love bears. I'm a conservationist, but there's a conservationist answer to these bear hunts, and I agree with them.
I'm Ursula Reuting, along with Matt Markovich. G is off today, and we've got a couple of minutes here, and I wanted to get a little more reaction from the verdict. Right now, Al Sharpton is speaking to a crowd that has gathered outside the courthouse in Brunswick, Georgia. A lot of people feeling relieved outside the courthouse. You heard somebody celebrate and was actually escorted out of the courtroom because of that celebration as the verdicts were being read. But I want to bring up something that several of our texters brought up, and that is my comment when I said there was concern, and I'll admit I was a little concerned too when we heard that the jury in this case was 11 people, white people, and one black juror, only one black juror in the case. And, you know, given how some other cases have turned out, just the temperature in this country, I was concerned. And I said, we should feel good that in this case, you know, it appears that there was no issue in that. Mm-hmm. And that's not meant to be racist. That's not meant to be. I mean, that is just expressing that that is something that was raised mm-hmm. legitimately. And the prosecution in the case and the family in the case raised that as an issue.
And you know, I'll tell you how people put words, and this is the media doing it as well. And they're, you know, I'm the media. I could be guilty of all this. Let's just assume that it was the other way around. Let's say they were acquitted. The headline would be 11 predominantly white jury acquits three white men in the death of a black. I mean, that's how it would get twisted if it was the other way around. You would call out a predominantly white jury. I don't think in this case here that word predominantly white will appear as often had it been the other way around. Because then race gets played up a lot more. Who's making the decision on this? And as we were and I were talking about, you know, there's levels of murder in this case because we're looking into Georgia law here. You know, you hear all these guilty verdicts on murder, but the way Georgia law is, we all know one person shot Aubrey. We all know that. Mm-hmm. Like you said, it's indisputed. But multiple charges of felony murder for all three men, because in Georgia law, you just have to be there and be associated with the crime that's happening in Georgia law to be convicted of felony murder mm-hmm. and malicious murder. Only one malicious murder charge, because that was Travis. Who shot him, actually mm-hmm. shot him. So that's the nuance here. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. in other states, if you weren't the shooter and you didn't conspire to shoot one, and there's no premeditation here that the jury in these charges, we may not have as many felony murder convictions as we just heard, because this is Georgia law versus Washington state law, where there may not have been all these different charges.
Right. And of course, the next thing will be the sentencing phase, and we will find out. But in the case of Travis McMichael,
and then there's appeals and stuff.
Exactly,
it's a murder case.
Exactly.
So
we're looking at potentially a life sentence.
Yeah. I mean, if it's a first degree murder case in the state of Washington, it's an automatic appeal. I mean, it just is. That's just the way it is.
Right.
In Georgia, we don't know.
Right. Okay. Well, we'll continue to bring you all the coverage on that. There's another CBS report coming up at 11:31. You are listening to the G and Ursula Show. And I'm happy to say that I believe the new Secretary of State, Steve Hobbs, will be joining us next.
Good. Good.
Welcome back to the G and Ursula Show. G is off today. Veteran reporter Matt Markovich is in for G. And we had to make a quick change when we had the breaking news. Yeah, we had to call an audible at 10:30 with the breaking news in the Ahmaud Arbery case. So Steve Hobbs is now on the line with us. Steve was sworn in as Washington's 16th Secretary of State, the first Democrat to hold the position in 56 years. He had to leave his Senate seat representing the 44th District to replace Republican Secretary of State Kim Wyman, who took a key election security job in the Biden administration. Welcome, Steve.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us. So first of all, I want to just ask you, what is your top priority right now taking over in this particular time?
Well, right now is just getting to know the team, getting to know the directors, and getting to know all the employees in the Secretary of State's office. So that's my first task. And as we go into the legislative session, finding out what we can do to secure our elections.
Well, Steve, it's Matt. Nice to talk to you again. I've talked to you so many times over the years, and you've worn so many different hats each time I talk with you. It's you're the state's representative from the good, fair city of Lake Stevens, and then you are the chair of the powerful Senate Transportation Committee, but you're also a lieutenant colonel with the National Guard. And I've talked to you there when you were handing out food during the pandemic and leading a bunch of troops there. So you do wear many hats. So I have to ask you, why did you want this job?
Well, as you had mentioned, I do wear many hats. It's because I answer the call whenever I'm asked to serve. And the governor asked me to to fill the role of Secretary of State, so I felt it was an opportunity that I had to take up. Plus, it's the importance of elections and election security, and so I
did you have any hesitation at all? Did you say, well, why me, kind of a question?
Well, I mean, obviously, going from a state senator to Secretary of State, a statewide position, you get a little nervous, a little anxiety there, but I thought it was a great opportunity to step up to the plate and take up the role that Kim Wyman did and to expand the security of our state elections through cybersecurity protections and information warfare, countering the disinformation and misinformation that is targeting our election system.
I mean, you kind of brought it up there, and Ursula talked about it. You're the first Democrat to hold the position in 56 years. Should it be a nonpartisan office?
I mean, that's certainly one of the issues I'm sure that will be discussed this legislative session or definitely after that. But right now I'm kind of focusing on the current systems that are in place now. Kim Wyman left this security operations center that we have here that deals with cybersecurity. And then we've got a budget request to put in a person that deals with misinformation and disinformation. We're looking at that. We're probably going to beef that up. But that's primarily my main focus. And as you know, Matt, I kind of work across the aisle. I've gotten a lot of congratulatory messages from Republicans and Democrats, and that's not going to change. I'll still be a centrist, or what I've told you before, I'm going to be a radical moderate like I've always have been.
You know what's so funny is I call myself a radical moderate, and Steve, I got to admit, I thought I came up with that term myself, and I was thinking, should I trademark this? And I saw you said it too. So what does that mean for you, being a radical moderate?
You know, a radical moderate to me is not being silent about being a centrist. It's standing up and saying, hey, look, those of you on the far left and or far right, you're wrong on this, and I'm going to stand up to you. And the hardest thing to do for any legislator, especially since they got to wear a political party, is to stand up to your own caucus. I mean, some of the toughest votes to take when you're in the majority is no. And some of the toughest votes to take in the minority is yes. And being able to throw on an amendment, putting your name on it, and making a statement, that's what you got to do. I've got good colleagues that do that, like Republican State Senator Curtis King or my Democratic State Senator friend Mark Mullett. Those two I call radical moderates because they're not afraid to stand up against their own party if they have to.
So some critics, including the head of the state Republican Party, were saying that the governor appointed you and picked you because you have sometimes been a thorn in the side of the governor, and this was one way to get you out of the way, in essence, from your role in the 44th District to put you in this position. How do you respond to that? For those people who felt like this should have been filled by a Republican, what is your message?
Sure, certainly. And you know, Caleb has got to make those statements because he's the state party chair for the Republicans, and I respect it. That's his job. That's his role. But look, did the governor, what choices did the governor have? The governor had to put in somebody that was respected by both sides. So he put in a moderate. And putting in someone from the far extreme is not going to work. And on top of that, the office of Secretary of State has evolved over the years. Now you need someone with a national security experience who knows how to combat misinformation, disinformation, and has relationships with the National Guard to have a robust cyber team so that you can defend our election systems against outside attackers.
You know, Steve, because you say you're a centrist, and I want you to, because you're out of the legislature right now, you've been sworn in as the Secretary of State, you're not wearing your legislative hat. I want to know if you can peel back the onion a little bit and describe to our listeners what it's like at the legislature where you're not far left or far right. Are people coming up to you and say, you know, Steve, we're not going to rely on Steve Hobbs' vote because he may not go this way this time? Are you lobbied hard? And especially because you're a chairman of the Senate Transportation Committee, which is a very powerful committee in Olympia.
Yes, I mean, obviously when I was a state senator, that happened quite a bit. And being a moderate, you get lobbied pretty hard. You get leaned on really hard by your own caucus and by others. And whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, being a moderate is just a horrible, horrible position to be in. You have to be a pretty brave person to be able to speak out. And that's why I say radical moderate, because I'm willing to speak out. And there are those that just, they feel beat down and they're afraid to speak up in their own caucus because of the pressure that's applied upon you by the outside, by interest groups, and by your own internal caucus.
What is it going to take to get people to believe in the election system and not keep bringing up fraud when there is no widespread evidence of fraud, but they'll always point back to what happened between Gregoire and Rossi and say, I can't trust the election system. How do you get people to trust the election system again?
Well, really, it's what we're trying to do now with putting in this person that combats disinformation and misinformation. The problem is, in the past, we kind of ignore the comments. We just say, oh, that was made by a crazy person, or, you know, that's not relevant. But the problem is, a tweet becomes a retweet, which becomes a meme, and then all of a sudden people believe in whatever the fake post was done. So what we have to do is quickly get out. So, for example, if someone tweets out, it's like, I saw ballot box stuffing in Yakima Dropbox, we can look at that and go, no. Sorry, bad voter 29 that tweeted out. We checked with the Yakima Sheriff's Department, and that's not true. I mean, just an example of what we got to do to rapidly get out at this, you know, misinformation and disinformation.
Well, hey, Steve, I just want to ask you a real quick question, okay? Because you were head of the State Transportation Commission committee. If you wanted to do one thing that needs to be fixed in the state of Washington, transportation-wise, but didn't get a chance to really push for it, what would that be?
Oh, man. Matt, you don't have a long enough show.
I know. We've got a minute.
All right. One bridge to fix? Okay, then forget about it.
A trestle, maybe? Yeah.
a bridge across the Oregon-Washington border?
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, your greatest love, Matt, making sure that we're safe along I-5 right. In Seattle so that people aren't getting ran over or fires aren't started or, you know, yeah, to keep it safe.
Well, I got to love that. We appreciate you joining us. We also appreciate you coming back after we had to blow out our regularly scheduled time for the interview for our breaking news. Thank you so much. Best of luck in your new position. I'm sure we'll have you back.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks, Steve.
Our new Secretary of State, Steve Hobbs. This is the G and Ursula Show. Stay with us. Welcome back to the G and Ursula Show. This hour of our show is brought to you by Guardian Roofing and Pest Control. And we're going to go right to our We Hear You segment. And we got a lot of text messages about you co-hosting today. I'm going to read one from Janet. Hey, Ursula and Cairo team. Welcome to Matt Markovich. I watched Como for years. Nice to hear you today, Matt. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. And thank you all for what you do.
The Ari Cotillo 6 writes, if your catalytic converter gets stolen, just drive it loud and proud.
A lot of people are doing that right now because a lot of them are getting stolen, unfortunately. On Target closing for Thanksgiving, Erico 206 says, Americans have enough stuff. Spend time with the important people in your lives.
Sue B. in Tacoma writes, no shopping on Thanksgiving? Terrific idea. It should be a day off for all those retail workers. They need it.
I agree. As someone who worked in retail for so many years, 425 says, I worked Black Friday in retail for years, weeks of planning over in a few hours. Yes, they should close on Thanksgiving. I'm glad we're going back to it being a holiday and employees getting the day off.
And on Best Airport Hacks, which I thought I had a really good one.
You did.
The Erico 206 writes, I only pick up people from departures, been doing it for 20 plus years and use it to drive my wife crazy. Until one day it was on the reader board, which means I'm not breaking the rules anymore.
253 says, Sully, on all those SeaTac secrets, shh, that works for me. Everyone else, the depart from arrivals thing totally does not work.
And from 206, take light rail.
Yeah, it is a great way to go. On Nordstrom's decline, Erico 253 says, I used to shop there all the time, but they went hip and stopped with business casual, at least in men's clothing.
From area code 306, the service is outstanding at Nordstrom. I have to carry a radio, a flashlight, and a rope cutting knife at work. I keep buying weak belts that couldn't hold the weight. I paid $100 for one at Nordstrom. That employee should have told me that it worked, it was totally worth it.
253 says, I'm sorry, but the truth is Nordstrom died when Blake Nordstrom died. He was the people person, and when he died, so did the heart of the store. Then it became profit over community, and now it really shows. On the guilty verdict, go ahead.
Yeah, on the guilty verdict in the trial over Ahmaud Arbery's murder, Nikki in 253 writes, Ursula, I'm genuinely crying happy tears. Justice finally given for Ahmaud.
And now it is our time for our words to live by. And I think as we head into this Thanksgiving weekend, it's always good to be reminded about the importance of being kind. And this is, I don't know who came up with this quote, but I love it. Being kind is giving, even when it seems like you have nothing to give. Our words to live by are brought to you by ProClub.com, a club like no other. The Dory Monson Show is coming up next. But as we head into this long holiday weekend, again, I want to say thank you to you, Matt.
Great.
It really was great. I know we're going to be doing it again.
I hope so.
You are a professional, and I love that you were able to just jump in and roll with the punches, mm-hmm. even with the breaking news. That was really great. Thank you to Laura. I don't see you, but always appreciate when you step in.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Thank you, Andrew. As always, great job on the board. And a big thank you. I cannot express the amount of gratitude I do have for our listeners. Even when you say, I disagree with everything that you say, we love that you are a part of our show. You are a part of our community. And we wish you happiness and health this Thanksgiving. And look forward to chatting again with you soon.
Happy Thanksgiving and relax, everybody.
Exactly.